Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, welcome in Jaguars Monday, live from the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Brian Sexton along with Tony Baselli and CBSSports.com, right?
You got it right.
Pete Prisco. By the time this is over, and we only have a couple more shows left, I will finally get that one right. Jaguars fall yesterday 27-20 to the Buffalo Bills, and we've got a lot to talk about with respect not only to that ball game, but the next 2 weeks for the Jaguars. And, of course, man, the playoff picture around the National Football League is really starting to get interesting. Before we get too far, and before we even give you the big three, how about that defensive back in Miami and the story that's come out about him? Is it Mike Thomas, who was sleeping through his alarm last week in his phone?
Practice squad guy in San Francisco.
Gets on the last flight he can possibly get on to get to Miami in time to be in the building on Tuesday?
Yeah, gets to the building. They get injuries on Sunday. They have two corners go out. You know, Brent Grimes got hurt, and he had to go in and play the nickel corner.
He had a big safety pass broken up.
And he had a big breakup on the pass. I think it was on second down. And then on fourth down, he had the interception of Tom Brady to preserve the victory.
Amazing story. Have you heard that one yet?
I just did.
Yeah, it's a great story. So we got a lot to talk about with respect to the National Football League. Let's start with our big three. Three questions this evening is our big three. Well, I'm glad that you're getting it.
No, listen, this is like SportsCenter.
Absolutely. With Pete Prisco.
There you go.
Okay, so our big three tonight, folks. Number one, is Cecil Short's season over? Here is Cecil locker room today.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing. And, you know, we have an idea what we're going to do. You know, I just don't want to speak on it right now. But that's probably the best thing for, honestly.
Best thing? Shutting it down. That wasn't what was announced today. It hasn't come out today. But listen to Gus Bradley in his news conference talking about the decision on Cecil Shorts.
It's, you know, with our conversation, I think we have more concern with the injury now, and that's what Dave and I and Cecil will talk about. You know, when he talks to us as coaches and really what he's feeling, I think we're starting to figure out he's such a strong competitor. He wants to play and he wants to do it, but I think the longer we're around him, you know, you can sense maybe when it's really bothering him. And I think he's at that point right now.
So he's been dealing with this groin, this sports hernia the last couple of weeks, and now it really appears by body language standing in front of these two gentlemen today and what you just heard, that the Jaguars are ready to shut down Cecil Shorts.
Well,
nothing's come out official.
And you know what? Why not? Why risk anything else to it? And I don't know how those work. You've ever had a sports hernia?
No.
But they can be very painful and they can linger, if I'm not
mistaken. We're talking
about
a tear in the abdominal wall, essentially.
Right, which is what, didn't Fred have a tear in the abdominal wall?
No, he had
his groin was torn off the bone. We're talking about 2001. Yeah.
This is off the. Oh, so it's a little bit, but it's a similar type thing, though. It's to me, I think he's got to sit down. Don't you think? It makes all the sense. What are you playing for? Just sit down. Get ready.
Listen. We'll wait for the final announcement from Gus. But listening to those two things, is there any question? He ain't playing. Come
he's
on,
not playing again.
I mean, listen to those two guys.
Cecil basically said he wasn't playing anymore.
Cecil basically said it, and Cecil's a tough guy. And so if Cecil's saying he can't do it, I mean, listen, there are guys, I'm not saying on this team, but there's guys you always question whether they really want to be out there or not. Cecil's not that guy.
All right, the Jaguars
and
do.
So, I mean, I can't imagine him, you know. Well, wait and see. I mean, only Gus and Cecil really know.
Let's get through this big three here. The Jaguars do have some other injury issues to deal with. We've got some more thoughts from Gus on that. Number two, what happened to the run defense yesterday?
We've talked about, hey, we're better against the run the last 5 weeks since the bye week. Well, the truth is, 2 weeks ago against Houston, they had 80-some yards rushing. But the yards per carry was creeping up there again to what, close to 5 or whatever it was, 4.8. That's what we have to look at. So, yes, you held them under 100 yards, but their yards per carry was pretty high. That's the things I look at and say, that's good. All of you think we're under 100 yards. But the truth of the matter is that's starting to get up there again. And yesterday, it started to creep up there again. That's what we got to knock down. We've got to knock down that yards per carry.
All right, and our final big three story is, can this team bounce back? 2 weeks left. Young team, veteran players not going, or appears they may not be able to go. This is something that Gus really wanted to see from his football team.
We challenged our team. I think I talked to all of you before about, can this team take a punch? That's what we need to find out. And I think there are illustrations of that, just like that with the defense. Second quarter, not very good. We took a punch, bounced back, 7 points, slowed, you know, took care of the run better. You know, I think those are all good signs.
All right, so let's go back to the top and deal with Cecil a little bit more in depth. You're talking about a guy who has been dealing with it for a couple weeks, but he's not the only one. Roy Miller has been dealing with his shoulder.
Different positions.
Well, totally different positions. But Russell Allen is dealing with a concussion. You now have Will Rackley that's dealing with a concussion.
Back up. Dealing with a concussion.
He suffered a concussion.
He's in the concussion protocol.
He's in the concussion
protocol. Right, this past game.
Right, so but here's what I'm getting
to. You don't really deal with concussions anymore.
Right.
The old days, you dealt with concussions and you kind of played through it. I'm not saying that's
changed
right.
Change my verbiage. No, you're right. My verbiage is wrong.
He suffered a concussion.
Yeah, he suffered a concussion.
You're the thing. You're
he's,
out.
He's going to it. So here's what the question to Gus in his news conference today was, do you start looking at guys like Maurice Jones-Drew, who didn't play last week, Cecil Short, some of these guys, and evaluate, weigh them playing in the final two games when you're 4-10 and are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs now, as opposed to having guys who are healthy enough to take part in your offseason program and in your OTAs to get ready for 2014?
I think that they have to warrant that. You know, sometimes it happens just like last game, you know, through injury. You get a chance, and if Cecil can't go and carry Taylor's up, well, then let's not miss it to take a look at him as well. And, you know, so we have that across the board, but that could happen the second game, you know, if someone gets hurt. You know, you get a chance to evaluate them when they get their chance. So I think if it happens, it happens. But I don't, you know, for my case, I'm not in the mindset of let's sit these guys and take a look at that. That's, you know, we're going to play the guys that give us the best chance to continue, you know, to improve.
I didn't set that up well enough. What he was talking about besides that was, do you take young guys and put them on the field so that you can sit guys like that? And that's what Gus essentially
said. Don't do that. I know I already can hear Pete saying you do. But no, you play. Listen, you play your best guys who are healthy.
Right, now
Cecil's hurt.
Right, so he doesn't play.
And he needs surgery, or if he needs extensive rehab, whatever. I guess you have to have surgery for a sports hernia nowadays. Is that that's the protocol?
Yeah, Cecil pretty much said yes.
Okay, so if that's the protocol, then sooner than later is better for that because it gets him ready. If it's a nagging hamstring that Maurice has, and he's good enough to go, then you go.
You were going to put words in my mouth. What were you going to put in my mouth?
You think it's, you know, who cares about this year? Who does care about this year?
Doesn't matter.
I think
it does matter. But if a guy's healthy enough to play and he's the starter, he should play.
Okay, well, you know, good. But with respect to Maurice Jones-Drew, a little bit different situation. 29 years old, has missed the last two off seasons with the knee after the 2011 season, and obviously last year with the foot. And you wonder, you know, we talked about
it's a hamstring.
But he's been heavy, and you like to have him.
Come on, Brian.
What?
Let me ask you a question. You're telling me if you rest Maurice right now so his hamstring be ready, he's going to start working out in January and February to get in, like, world-class shape?
No.
I mean,
I don't know. All I'm saying is there's a question to be asked, is for Maurice Jones-Drew, who we've said is heavy, if you're going to bring him back, do you do better? Especially after Jordan Todman comes out and runs for 109 yards.
That's not the
issue.
Well,
that's a different
issue. That's a different issue.
I think they tie in.
No, they don't. Two different things. I disagree 100%.
Well, okay. Maurice,
one allows you to do the other.
Let me ask you this. Maurice is healthy. Who plays?
Oh, I'll tell you what. You got to give Todd more carries. I watched the tape. He ran well. Now, and he's only going to get better. I mean, I think there's even more yards out there for him to get. He's fast. He's quick. He's a good out of the backfield.
And he will be back next year.
Yeah, he's I mean,
and he will be back next year for sure.
I'm not worried about next year.
You have to worry about next year.
I'm actually make the case. There's an argument. He brings something that
He should be playing. He should be playing. Period. He should be the guy.
I'm not saying Maurice doesn't get any carries.
No, but the guy who gets the majority of the carries right now and the majority of the snaps should be Jordan Todman.
He looked good.
And going forward, it should be Jordan Todman. So now comes the question. And they like Maurice. Like you said, they like him in the locker room. They like him around. But at what price? And would
I think Maurice wants to stay here.
Okay.
He wants to finish.
Will he take a $1.5 million one-year deal?
I don't know.
None of us know. I mean, you wouldn't suspect that Maurice Jones-Drew, who's a proud player, would take
a one-year deal
that so far back. But maybe an incentive-laden deal. Maybe he's just the writing on the wall. I mean, let's be honest. The guy runs like he's more of an Earl Campbell kind of bruise your body up in 6 years than, you know, a guy who's going to play 10, 11 years. You, don't you think? And so he's a guy that with his style of play, you've used a lot of the tread on that tire.
I think he'd like to play 10 years. I just don't know if he – I don't think that body can stand – I don't think bodies nowadays in the NFL can stand 10 years of running the football. And again, Jordan Tobin, where'd they find him? You find running backs anywhere. They're everywhere.
Well, the guy that you were talking about had 3 touchdowns.
Asiata. Asiata. I said, you know what? This kid's going to go in and
– Ozzie Osbourne played?
Yeah, Matt Asiata yeah, right. from Utah and went in. And
Joe, I didn't know Ozzie Osbourne was in the league.
He had 3 touchdowns yesterday. He didn't rush for a lot of yards, but he still had three touchdowns. Biting, so you can find running backs anywhere.
Biting heads off bats.
Yeah. And spitting them
all right, let's deal with another position, a different position. Roy Miller has been dealing with a shoulder and a knee all season long. Today, Gus Bradley talked about him and how well – in fact, his phrase was that Roy doesn't want to hurt the team. It isn't that Roy doesn't want to play hurt because he can play and stand the pain, but he doesn't want it to impact the defense.
He's tough.
And so what Gus said was, well, I turn on the tape, I don't see it. But he's a guy that they obviously like, would like to have back.
You don't see him hurting the team?
That's what Gus said.
I don't either.
Right.
Gus said he had a couple plays here or there you could tell where he's not, but for the most part, I thought Roy played fine.
Well, and I talked to Jeff about it too, and Jeff really analyzed the tape and said he didn't see it either.
I didn't either. I mean, Roy is tough.
Okay, so here's the question mark now.
Now, I'll say this. I know your question.
You know where I'm going.
So if I'm the GM and the coach, I look at Roy Miller. He's a guy I want back for a lot of different reasons because I think is he a great one technique? He hasn't been great this year, but maybe that's because he's hurt, but he's solid. And he's tough.
He gives you an air of toughness.
He was good last year in Tampa, I'll tell you that.
That's what I'm saying. He's tough, and he's great for the locker room. He's the type of person you want in your facility. If he needs off-season surgery.
Especially the shoulder.
If he needs it, I tell him, you're getting it now. Because I want him back in the weight room around the other guys, setting the tempo of how we do things. So
that it's person-to-person is what
you're
saying.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
For Maurice Jones-Drew, you'd want him to play
Everyone's
with a hamstring.
Different.
For Roy Miller, you want him to go ahead and get the surgery. Get the surgery.
Here's my line of demarcation. If it's a surgery issue, do it now.
Okay.
Let's get it done. Because there's a rehab process that we need you. I'm trying to do something.
Roy Miller's on a one-year deal too, right?
No, it's a two-year deal.
Is it a two-year deal?
Yeah. Oh, Derek Marks is.
Derek Marks is on a one-year deal.
I believe that is a priority right now to get him done.
Oh, yeah. He's played really, really well. In fact,
but at what price? That's
middle
the
of the road.
Right.
He's
good.
Well.
He's a good player.
And I think he'll be better if he only has to play 45 snaps right. a game.
When we come back, let's deal with the Jaguars' run defense. It had been so good for the first 5 weeks since the bye. Cut in half the amount of yards they gave, the amount of yards per carry. But yesterday allowed 198. 102 of them coming.
Take out the second quarter.
In the second quarter, absolutely. So we'll talk about
fresh off his 3 touchdowns.
The best producer in radio, bar none. Just asking, folks. Joe Fortunato. Hey, visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush. Get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
That's tonight at 7. Join Jeff Lagerman and Brent Martineau for Jaguars All Access. Special guest Jordan Todman at 7 o'clock at CBS 47. Brian Sexton, Tony Buscelli, Pete
What
Prisco,
are they talking about tonight?
Joe Fortunato.
Andy, what's the smart board? What's Log's got on the smart board?
You know, I didn't get that from him. If he's not gone in the building yet, he can certainly give us a call. You can too. 355-NFL-1-800-355-6351. So the run defense yesterday. When you look at the line and you see 44 rushing attempts by the Buffalo Bills, you go, yeah, that's not good. They average 4.5 per carry, which is the point that Gus Bradley
made
today.
That's a Pete Prisco point.
What's that?
Yards per carry is more important than how many yards you give up.
By far away. It's a yards red per flag. Rush. It's a red flag for a defense, and it's a good sign for an offense. You know who taught me that?
Tom Coughlin.
You know the thing about yesterday.
No, didn't teach me anything.
Was they didn't have the they didn't have the huge explosive plays in the running game. I mean, they just hammered it and hammered it and hammered it. You watch the tape. What'd you see?
I saw a team that in the first quarter looked like they were going to be. I mean, dominant against a really good running team. Let's not forget that. I mean, this isn't just
they were number one in the AFC.
Yeah, this isn't the run of the mill. I mean, they got two stud backs, a nice offensive line, the running quarterback. I mean, they are built to run. And early, I mean, they shut them down. I mean, it was stout. I mean, you look at the situation they're put in. They the offense turns the ball over, sudden change in your own territory, three and out, field goal, no problems. They played very well, and I thought the game changed after the anger punt put them at the six-yard line, the Bills. First play, stuffed run. Second and 10, they had a little comeback route to Robert Woods, who had, boy, what a good player he is.
He's going to be a really good player.
He's a good player. And after that, it kind of the momentum all shifted, and they score 17 points in the third quarter, and a lot of that was pounding.
Second quarter.
It was just pounding the rock, 102 yards, and it was 5 here, 8, 11.
Yeah, but why? What the tape show?
Guys did not get off their blocks like they did. It was almost like they went from flying around to look like they're muddling in the mud and just Velcroed up and, you know, some run fits over running stuff, getting – you know, washed down, but just didn't have the same I don't want to say intensity because I know this team plays hard, but the same snap getting off the ball and getting off blocks. And then all of a sudden they come in third quarter.
Well, Gus said
and it's
that.
Like
Gus said they changed the approach. They changed the way that guys attack the line of scrimmage, the way that they pursue, and they held them to 58 yards in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it was like night and day.
That's also an air back running team. And by that I mean with Spiller can
Fred Jackson's done. He's a downhill, hit you in the mouth
and
run you over.
Spiller's one of those guys that can give you 20.
Oh,
you
he know? Can.
And Manuel can scramble for 20.
Yeah, but it was they were pounding.
Yeah, see, I haven't watched the tape yet. I was just watching.
And that's what, and they just didn't get off blocks. And there were some missed tackles. Listen, they missed Ciprian yesterday.
Yeah, that he's a miss in the run game.
They missed him. Not only in the run game, I thought in the pass game, tight end down the middle of the field a few times, they missed him. And there were some plays that Sip makes – at the line of scrimmage that were not made. And so that it's just those little things. They start adding up, and it's about doing the little things right, whether it's offense or defense, run fits, getting off blocks. And it's amazing what happens. I'm a big believer in this. And Jeff talks about run fits, and I know, and he knows run fits. He's more of a defensive guy, and those are important, and getting in the right gap. But you know what great defenses do? Every great defense, whether you're a 3-4, 4-3, 2-gap, 1-gap team, they all do one thing in common. You know what that is? They get off blocks.
Right.
Every one of them. At some point, you just got to win. At the point of attack, you got to win. You got to beat your guy. You know, the three techniques need to win, or the one takes two blocks and that middle linebacker is free. I mean, it's just – you have to win. And they weren't winning in the second quarter. It's pretty much that and missed tackles, and that's why they get gashed.
You know, when you talk about fixing this team and adding talent, we talk so much about the quarterback and the pass rusher because that's the way the game is today. But if you're going to stop the run, and if you don't do that, you don't get a chance to get after the quarterback, they've really got to upgrade at linebacker here.
Yeah, fast, speed. You watch Seattle play. And when you watch Seattle play.
And that's exactly what I'm thinking of, the Wagner kid in particular.
Wagner and K.J. Wright.
He is fast.
And K.J. Wright's good, too.
They're good.
Get after the ball, and they see it and go get it.
And then
they
their fourth linebacker's good, too, Cam Chancellor.
Yeah, right? Well, that's what Ciprian will be in this defense.
Yeah, he's more athletic than Cam.
He is more athletic than Cam. But,
yeah,
but
he's not as big
and
as
I
Cam.
Think that will no, be that could be the, that could like be Kevin a problem Hardy. For Seattle, by the way, as we talk about them. But moving forward, is Cam Chancellor, you get him in coverage, he can have problems in coverage.
Yeah.
But that's what Jacksonville needs to get speed. The guy that sees it goes and gets it right
Sip.
Away. Bang. You know, we're not talking about linebackers.
No, I know, but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what they did at safety.
Yeah. Sees it, goes and gets it. And Ciprian's head was spinning early on. He was seeing it, not really recognizing it, and he couldn't go get it. But they need linebackers like Seattle has Willis and Bowman. You know,
well, I think everyone would take Willis
and
Bowman.
But you know what I mean?
Athletic linebacker.
And you don't need to draft him.
Listen, Bowman wasn't a top 10 pick.
No.
Willis was 11.
Well, I mean, look at even Buffalo, Kiko Alonso. Now, he's way too undersized, but he can fly.
Right.
He gets to the ball. I mean,
yeah, he made a bunch of plays yesterday.
I'd love to play against him because all you have to do is get like a pinky on him and push him, and he's going to go, poof. He's skinny.
Yeah,
they're
linear for a middle backer, 6'3", 230.
Yeah. But he flies. The way the game is played nowadays.
He flies. He's an every down backer.
So
he's a good player.
They need guys like that. I think that's their
well,
and you can get those guys in like the third, fourth, fifth round.
You can get them anywhere. You just got to pick the right guy. I mean, you got to pick the right guy. I mean, we talk about Seattle because of Gus, where Gus came from, and they're the best team in football, in my opinion, them in San Francisco. Look at that Seattle defense. How many first rounders do they have?
Right. Well, I'll give you a guy.
How many first rounders have besides Earl Thomas?
Bruce Irvin.
First, but he's not. Does he even start right now?
Well, he plays a lot.
Okay, but he's not a starter. But I'm sorry, they're starting 11.
Right.
First rounders, they got Earl Thomas. Give me another first rounder. I don't know if there is one.
No, there isn't.
And Irvin, he does start.
Bruce Irvin starts. He starts at linebacker now.
Is he starting at Sam now?
Yeah.
Okay. They have two first rounders.
Okay.
But he didn't play. They rotate him in and out.
Though. I mean, but they didn't. Okay, when they were still the best defense in football, he didn't play for 4 weeks.
But here's a guy like
my whole point is you can find
right.
That's why I go back to this whole
Jacksonville. I mean,
you got to go find the right guy.
Tampa Bay, when he came out, Lavonte David weighed 230 pounds. I loved Lavonte David coming out. Loved him. He was one of my favorite guys. You can go back. And
I remember. No, I remember you.
And I went back and watched him again just last week to study him. Oh my God, he's the best linebacker in the league this year. This year, he is the he's better than Kuechly. He's better than Willis. He's playing better than all of them. But what does he do? He runs. He chases. He covers. He gets to the football. I mean, the guy is the only linebacker in the league with five interceptions and five sacks.
All right, we got lots to talk about. You're listening to Jaguars Money with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli from the HannityAutos.com studios, and it's all brought to you by PRI Productions. News is next on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, we're brought to you by Bueller Swiss Watch, the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Our big
wake
three.
Him up, would you please, over
what do you
here?
Wake me up?
You're
I'm
like,
fine.
You're like slugging. Just because you're on a
what
diet.
What are you talking about?
Just because you're on a diet,
on a
you're
diet.
Angry.
I'm angry for another reason I'm not going to get into on the air.
I know.
Does it have
it
anything
is.
To do with your diet?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
How you doing, by the way?
I'm doing good. This is day seven or eight. It's going well. There's
some complications.
There's some complications that, you know.
It's called the holidays.
That's what it is.
No, no, that's not
that's
the
what there's some complications.
It's going to be a complication.
And the complication begins with a C, too.
There's a red light that we need to get turned green here soon.
All right, let me reset the big three for you. Is Cecil Short's season over? Here's Cecil in the locker room today when he was asked if it was the smart thing to do.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing. And, you know, we have an idea what we're going to do. You know, I don't want to speak on it right now, but that's probably the best thing for honestly.
All right, and shortly thereafter, the head coach addressed the media at his weekly Monday.
Can we stop before you
Monday.
Go to the next one?
Okay.
Please. I'm sorry. So I just want to – it just hit me. I was listening to this the second time. He was asked the question, are you done for the year? And he – yeah, probably.
Should you
no,
be?
No, should you be? Be? Should is it the be? Best thing?
Is it the smart thing?
He goes,
thing
yes, be. Basically.
Right. Yes.
And then laughs.
Yes.
And then
says
we
have a plan.
He just said they're done. I yes. mean, just – I mean, that was
right. – Well, for those people who aren't convinced – here is the head coach.
He just said he's done, didn't he?
Right.
It's, you know, with our conversation, I think we have more concern with the injury now, and that's what Dave and I and Cecil will talk about. You know, when he talks to us as coaches and really what he's feeling, I think we're starting to figure out he's such a strong competitor. He wants to play and he wants to do it, but I think the longer we're around him, you know, you can sense maybe when it's really bothering him. And I think he's at that point right now.
All right, so that's big three number one. The second one is the Jaguars gave up 198 yards on the ground yesterday. This after 5 weeks of not allowing their opponent to get 100 yards and not allowing more than 3 yards per carry. In fact, 2.9 per carry over those 5 weeks. Yesterday didn't fit the narrative of what's happened here the second half of the season, and Gus was asked what's happened.
We've talked about, hey, we're better against the run the last 5 weeks since the bye week. Well, the truth is, 2 weeks ago against Houston, they had 80-some yards rushing. But the yards per carry was creeping up there again to what, close to 5 or whatever it was, 4.8. That's what we have to look at. So, yes, you held them under 100 yards, but their yards per carry was pretty high. That's the things I look at and say, that's good. All of you think we're under 100 yards. But the truth of the matter is that's starting to get up there again. And yesterday it started to creep up there again. That's what we got to knock down. We've got to knock down that yards per carry.
All right, then the final of our big three tonight is, can this team bounce back? You know, they had momentum going. They had won 4 or 5. They'd won 3 in a row. They were feeling good about themselves. And yesterday, well, Gus talked about it.
We challenged our team. I think I talked to all of you before about, can this team take a punch? That's what we need to find out. And I think there are illustrations of that, just like that with the defense. Second quarter, not very good. We took a punch, bounced back, 7 points. Slowed, you know, took care of the run better. You know, I think those are all good signs.
All right, then obviously the other big story around here today was just the number of players who are sitting injured. So here's this injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. The obvious one is Cecil. You heard what the head coach said there. Roy Miller is a guy they will be watching, managing, won't practice probably all this week, dealing with a shoulder and a knee as he has been a concussion, the story for Russell Allen. They're dealing, obviously, Mike Brewster put on injured reserve today with a broken ankle, and they signed Gerald Rivers, a pass rusher from the St. Louis Rams, as he was waived by the Rams. What other ones are sitting out there? I mentioned Russell with the concussion. Oh, Maurice Jones-Drew will be evaluated Wednesday, as will Jonathan Cyprian, and they will figure out where those guys are. Let's go back to the Maurice Jones-Drew story here. Jordan Todman comes up with a big day, 153 yards from scrimmage. You know, playing right into your hands, Pete, where you find backs, where you find backs. What's your approach with Maurice Jones-Drew looking towards next year?
Well, if he wants to come back on a one-year deal or a small deal that's not going to hit my cap for a couple years and be a part of something that's being built here and be a complementary role player, then I'd bring him back. But if he thinks he's going to be the featured back in 2014, then I'm not bringing him back because that's not who he is anymore. And Maurice would sit here and argue with me and tell me I'm crazy. I know nothing about football, which he's told me before. But the reality is that's not the same running back he once was. Whether it's the injuries, whether it's the fact he has extra weight on, whether it's the fact that his body's beat up from all the carries he's had, he's just not the same back. And he's been a great back. You know, we were asked on the CBS show yesterday, where does Maurice rank in Jackson? Because this might be his last regular season game here this week if he leaves, right? And I said he's one of the all-time greats in this franchise's history.
81 touchdowns, and he's the most in
one of the most
history.
Beloved in this city. But things come to an end, and he's not the same player. So if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I say, Maurice, you want to come back on a one-year deal? I'll give you a 1.5.
Why a one-year deal? Why? I mean,
why give? Okay, a two-year dummy deal. Okay, where he's probably going to expect him to play one. Why do you think he's going to be good for? Why, running backs, you can find him anywhere. Tony,
no,
you
I agree
him up
that.
And get rid of
the,
him.
No, I agree, but I mean. I don't know what the number is because we'll wait and see what the final cap number is and how much room you have the Jaguars end up having. I know you have to spend a certain much, and they can roll back old years. I mean, so cap room is not going to be an issue.
No, not
they
for
have
them.
A ton I mean, of it. They have yeah, a ton
I
mean, of cap
room. It's not an issue. I'm interested to see. The question, the biggest thing I'm evaluating if I'm Gus and Dave is, and what we hear is all positive, what type of guy is he in the locker room for this young team, and does he want to be a part of the rebuild even though he might never get the payoff 3-4 years down the road? Does he want to be a part of that? Because that's a big question. I mean, Maurice, you know, or does he – I mean, he has to come to the grips that if I come back, finish my career as a Jaguars, it would be great. And I hope he does. I hope it works out. But let's say 2 years from now, I got two more years left, and it's year three when this team's hitting the peak, I might not be a part of it. I might be about the part of the process to getting there. If he's okay with that and he's bought in, I'm interested because Maurice only had about 8 weeks to get in shape for the season because of the Liz Frank injury and because of all the things going on with his lower leg. So he never got in shape. He never lost all of his weight. And I know he's not going to come out and say that, and no one's going to say that, but we all can see it. I'm interested because Maurice is one of the all-time great chip-on-the-shoulder guys of when he takes a deal less than he thinks he should get, and everyone says he's done, and everyone points back to how poor of a year he had. What happens if Maurice comes back and has a healthy offseason and loses that 15 pounds or 10 pounds or whatever it is, and
or 20,
shows, or 20 whatever it is, shows up in shape and now is asked to do what they did when Fred and he were here, carry the ball 200 yards. I mean, 200 times a game. Is he back to that 5 yards a carry guy? He might be.
Well, and the other thing is who is the back? Is the back on? Is Todman the back going
who
forward?
Knows?
We don't. You don't know.
I
that
still
yet.
Want. I'm still intrigued with Denard Robinson. It makes me mad he fumbled it because you watched that play on
that
film.
That looked like a big boy run right there.
You watched that play on film. It was very well blocked, but it was a little crease. He picked his feet up, got
him
up high, and got through there and exploded with speed. And then he had to fumble it. But, I mean, I want to – I mean, I'm
yeah, well, no one's giving up on him.
No, I know that. I'm intrigued by him. By no means am I saying he's the feature back. I'm intrigued by him and Todman. So,
well, the other thing is do you need a feature back anymore? Or can you have two or three guys that go in
I still
and
think
out?
Good backs – and I think you saw that in Todman. You get in a rhythm. You see things. Your cuts get sharper. You just – I think it takes a few hits sometimes to get things going for backs. And so I think I would like to see one guy get the majority of the carries.
Did you miss anything without Maurice Jones-Drew yesterday? Was there anything that Todman couldn't do, couldn't give you, that you needed Maurice for?
The only thing I'd say, you wonder at first and goal on the one, if Maurice is in there, do you just pound it in there and score? I think you do. I don't think you toss it.
How does Todman do in his blitz pickups?
He did fine yesterday. He went low one time to cut Alonzo. He got him down, but Alonzo launched himself and ended up in Chad's knees. And they're not going to call it because he went low and forced him.
Maurice has always been good.
Very good. Maurice is a better blocker than Todman right now.
Right.
On that one, now listen to the toss play. The reason the toss play didn't work is the whole right side of the offensive line was a half a second off, laid off the ball. I don't know if they didn't get the snap count right. Everyone else went right, but the Uche, Pazdor, and Mercedes were all late off the line of scrimmage. So I don't know what the reason was for that. But that play had no chance from the start.
So you're saying if Maurice is willing to come back and be the guy in the locker room and understand that his role is, then it would be a good. And I agree with you on that. I think that would be a good way to have.
Does he have more value in a year in which you're not sure who your quarterback is? I mean, what if they don't get the guy that they think and they've got Chad and they bring someone else in, or is there value? Does Maurice bring something to the locker room in the absence of a strong quarterback?
Because even if you bring a young guy in, he's not going to be he's not going to be the guy. I mean, the voice in that locker room right away. So, I mean, either way.
Well, that's a whole nother issue.
Yeah.
Is if they don't bring a quarterback in here, how do you sell that again to the fan base?
Well, I can't imagine they wouldn't. I'm just throwing
it
out
there. There's got to be somebody that they. But I'm not talking about bringing in Matt Scott. You know, for the undrafted guy. I'm talking about you have to bring somebody
in. You don't like Matt Scott? He's a fine young man.
You got to bring somebody in here.
You're such a troublemaker.
You got to bring somebody in here that can be the starter. Or you have to sell the public and your fans on Chad Henne starting again. And I just don't think that's going to fly very well in the city.
Either.
I've lived here a long time, as have you guys, and this fan base wants a quarterback. They want. That doesn't mean you go do what they say. But if you have to play Chad Henne next year, there's going to be a lot of unrest in this city.
355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. Our broadcast this evening is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. We're back with more after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, rolling right along towards the top of the hour and another news break from the folks.
Two-man show tonight. Me and Brian Sexton.
Well, that makes it a one-man show because you're the guy that likes to talk so much.
No, he does.
No. And okay, so here he comes. This is his – by the way, folks, at this break every single week,
he has
Tony finds
first dinner.
His way to – is that what you call it, first dinner?
Because he goes home
is that
and
like
has,
second breakfast he goes from
home,
The Hobbit?
No, he goes home and has the second dinner, and he then lies about it. Now you don't have to lie anymore because you're on a diet, so you don't have to lie about it.
That looks pretty clean there, Baselli.
It is.
What is it?
Chicken.
No, it's
chicken with peppers.
Chicken peppers.
Wait.
It's peppers with chicken.
I don't think you should be, I don't think in your condition you should be eating that.
I'm hoping that it's
Please, okay. Please, at least wait to the 8 o'clock hour. Okay.
I'm waiting for some explosive powers to happen.
Oh my.
We're gonna leave that one alone.
Well, you can do whatever you want with it.
No, well, we don't want to do anything with it.
All right, Jaguars and Titans on Sunday.
Coming up next week. They can sweep them.
The Titans look like they are in free fall. And not just because of the record, but it appears that the coach is on his way out of there.
I think the coach is on his way out. To me, they were done yesterday by the time they took the field. They're out of the playoffs or whatever. Why wouldn't you go for two at the end of that game? Did you see what happened?
No.
They scored late to make it 34-33, and they came back from 17 down to do it. Got an onside kick and everything. Got an offsides penalty, so you moved it up. On the extra point.
You go for it for sure.
Win the game or lose
without a doubt.
You're not playing for anything.
Right.
In most situations, I'd say no. But you went out, you got Levitre, you drafted Warmack, who might be on his way to eating himself out of the league in his first year. Have you seen him?
He doesn't look great.
Oh, he's huge, Tony. He's gigantic.
You know who's better, the Alabama player is better, is
Fluger.
Fluger is better than Warmack.
And the guard at Detroit tonight, if you keep an eye on him, Larry Warford, oh, he's going to be a good
Kentucky.
One. Oh, he's good. But you go for it, right? So here you are in a situation, you're Munchak, you're not playing for anything, your team just comes back from 17 down, the place is going crazy, he kicked the extra point. In most situations, if the game mattered, I'm okay with that because I don't want to put it on one play, But when your team's out of it, after you come down from back from 17 down.
With the momentum of the
entire stadium
behind you.
It's cold. It's late. It was a 4 o'clock game. It's freezing in that place in Nashville yesterday. Go home. One way or the other, you go home.
Right.
So you think he's gone?
I do. Tommy Smith, who's now running things over
there.
That's
Bud Adams' son-in-law, right?
Yeah. To me, he keeps putting out, we don't accept losing. We're tired of losing. I think he's gone. I think Chris Johnson could be gone.
His contract almost necessitates it, right?
I mean, right. Plus, he hasn't had one 100-yard game this year.
Yeah.
He's not very good.
No, he's done. Again, proof, find him, beat him up, get rid of him. Then you got the quarterback situation. They have to decide what they're going to do. The guy threw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns yesterday, and he's bad. Think about that.
Yeah.
He's bad. Then you had the disciplinary issue. The two receivers were suspended for the game. They had
what two?
Hunter and
Williams?
Damian Williams.
Yeah.
Two of them. So they're suspended. So you got
Hunter's your big play guy.
What were they suspended for? Is it reported?
They didn't say, but probably something at the hotel.
Okay, you haven't heard anything.
No.
Okay.
And Hunter's the guy that gives you the big play down the field.
And Damian Williams is your possession guy.
Yeah.
So it's a bad situation, and I think they're going to get a new staff. And, you know, interesting thing about their staff, you got two connections to Jacksonville on that staff. You have Sean Jefferson, who grew up here. I've known Sean for
years. Good coach.
Good coach. Almost got hired here. Really good coach. And then you got Keith Millard, who played here for the Bulls back in the day in the old USFL. Good player. Remember Keith Millard?
I do.
Real good player in the NFL. So I've known Brett Maxey for years, too. I mean, it's a decent staff. There's just something off with this team. Am I wrong? There's something missing.
Yeah, it's called quarterback.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And running back. I think Chad Johnson goes down easier than any running back in the NFL. I would have never paid him all that money, and they did, and they're paying for it now.
You got to give him credit. They sat down Kenny Britt. They weren't taking his crap. Sean Jefferson, who's the wide receivers coach, he told me in the summer, he said, I'm not taking it. He hadn't played. He didn't play. They don't play him because right. they don't take his crap. They have talent on this team. This team has talent.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they have maybe the best interior defensive tackle in the game, right? I mean, Jarrell Casey is a monster.
Well, he's one of them. He's not the best, but he's one of them. He's a good player. But I mean, you look around. You look at their defense. They lack a pass rusher. The guy that puts his hand on
sounds
the
familiar.
Curse. Javon Curse. They don't have him because Wimbley's just a guy.
He's not.
He can't play anymore. Derek Morgan hasn't lived up to the hype. I don't think. You think he's a good sound player, but he's not great.
He's not great.
And so you go across, and this kid's just a big giant.
Jarrell Casey's your guy who puts all your pressure on everything.
This kid, Zach Brown, they thought he would be able to take the next
step. They benched him.
He hadn't taken the next step. That was a major disappointment. I can't believe that. He has all the talent in the world. He must have no want to at all. Ayers is okay. The corners are good. Both of them. I think Griffin's bad, and I think Pollard
is your favorite player.
I think he's one of the most overrated players in the NFL. He's got a big mouth, so people like him.
Well, he got a couple of key penalties in the ball game up there. 2 15-yard penalties.
Yeah.
Yeah, it helped the Jaguars.
Well, that's what
there.
He is. That's what he does. He has big hits and big penalties and compensates for the fact he can't cover anything.
I mean, the funny thing about this game, you've already swept the Texans. You could sweep the Titans, and then you can go split with the Colts and end up 5-1 in the division with the best division record. It's unreal.
That would be incredible. But that's a good sign because –
It tells you the division's not that good,
well,
and it's gettable next year.
Right. The division's not that good, and you're better than people thought you were against teams that people thought were going to be good.
And here's the thing that's amazing. And I don't want to get ahead. And
we always
sure,
get ahead.
I know. We can, but I'm sure Gus and Dave would be like, will you shut up? But this division is gettable next year for this team.
Even with the talent the Texans have.
Yes.
If the Texans go grab Jay Cutler.
Yes.
I don't think the Texans are all that good.
Really?
First of all, I don't think Jay Cutler gets out of Chicago.
I don't either.
Okay.
But really, when you look at the Texans, yeah, they have some elite players. Watson, elite player. Is Andre Johnson still an elite player? Will he be next year?
Well, he has been this year.
Right. Will he be next year?
I don't know.
He's
but
a
you
year
know,
older.
Antonio Smith is a terrific player.
Good player.
Here's my point with Houston. Even when they were elite the last couple years, this team always played with them. It's like one possession games.
But if they had a quarterback, they wouldn't be.
I understand. They don't, though. That's my whole point.
Right.
And where are you going to go find that guy next year?
Okay, say they start. They draft Teddy Bridgewater, and he's their starting quarterback. Does that put him?
I'll tell you, I'm not saying this is where the Jags are the favorite for the division.
You don't even know who's starting quarterback next year for Jacksonville.
I'm saying it's a gettable division. If you go add some – and now, listen, everyone's thinking the same thing. So is Tennessee's thinking this, and Indy's thinking it, and so is Houston. But that's the fun thing about if this team – will continue to improve in what Gus is doing, and you add talent, and you get better, you might wake up and find yourself in a gettable division.
All right, we've got much more of the week to talk about that Jags-Titans game next Sunday. We're going to take a break. Fans, as we go to break, remember that nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more stop by Gate today. Second hour coming up, focused on the National Football League with CBSSports.com's Pete Prisco here on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, hour number two, Brian Sexton, Pete Prisco, Baselli back in the food line, I guess. We'll have to wait for him to return. Until then, the floor is yours, my friend.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Dolphins, because I know that you work in South Florida on Sundays, and that kid quarterback really came through for them yesterday, and the practice squad defensive back, Mike Thomas.
The thing about Tannehill yesterday, people will look at the end of the game and what he did, but to me, it was about the end of the half. It was 10-0. New England had dominated pretty much, but they only led 10-0. He got the ball after a field goal, in the final minutes of the first half, went bang, 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 hit Mike Wallace on a crosser, touchdown. 10-7. You go to the locker room, you feel better about yourself. Then.
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
Was I right about Mike Wallace, overpaid free agent?
No, hell no.
What numbers does he have this year, Pete?
He's got 60-something catches. And
Brian Hartline has better numbers than he does.
The way he impacts the game.
And I think I said that.
The way he impacts the game. He takes away a lot of doubles and singles and gives the single for Hartline. You're out of your mind. I think he has 65 catches. He has three touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. He's a big reason why they're now a team that has two wins away from the playoffs. You're out of your mind.
No, I'm right.
No, you're wrong. Did they overpay him a little bit? Yeah, sure they did, but that's what you got to do in the market.
Here you go. Hartline, 72, 925, 12.8 per in four scores. Wallace, 64, 867, 13.5 per catch and four scores.
And go back and look at the last three games. You can have Hartline because Hartline's numbers come because people double Mike Wallace. Speed kills in this league. He has it. And he's a reason why in the last three games.
They overpaid for him. I'm not saying he's not a nice player, but they way overpaid for him.
Of course they.
Way overpaid.
Who in free agent?
Way, way, way back.
Did the Titans way overpay for Andy Levitre to play left guard? Yes.
Andy Levitre is a better player.
He's a good player.
He's better than Wallace. He's a better guard than Wallace's receiver.
Debatable.
Here's Wallace's last couple of games against the Patriots, 6 for 105
That's
yards
a nice game.
And a touchdown. Against the Steelers in the win, 2 for 19.
Oh, that's a heck of a game. Well, he was. What did Hartline have?
I don't have that yet. I'll get it in a minute. Okay, we'll get it. We'll go back and look at Hartline's numbers. The Jets, he had 7 for 82 and a touchdown. Against the Panthers, he had 5 for 127 and a touchdown.
Yeah, that's nice.
So three of the last four games, he's over 100 yards.
No, he's not over. He wasn't
two
over
the last four.
Two of the last four, and three of the four, he has a touchdown. So, what happened is they're finally protecting a little bit better, and they're having time to get him the routes down the field, because that's what he is. He's a deep threat guy.
You want Hartline's
look,
numbers?
Is he worth it? Is he worth it, Tony?
No,
he's not worth.
Yeah, I do.
But no free agent's worth the money.
Oh, really? J.J. Watt would be worth anything you paid him,
or a quarterback.
Hartline 5 for 70.
Drew Brees might be. I think the Saints would say what they paid.
They're
Drew
not
Brees
leaving.
No, when Drew Brees went to the Saints, I think everyone would say that the Saints got a good deal on that.
Well, yeah, but he was coming off shoulder surgery, so nobody knew what kind of situation he was going
to
be in.
They were willing to take the risk.
Right. So there's an asterisk next to everything you say.
You are an asterisk.
You are an asterisk. Big, giant asterisk.
You're a big ass.
5 for 70 against the Steelers, 5 for 51 and a touchdown. Against the Jets, 9 for 127 and a touchdown. And against the Panthers, 5 for 78.
So same. I mean, he's had touchdowns.
They're about the same.
Yeah.
He's not a cheap salary either, by the way.
Much cheaper than Mike Wallace.
Yeah, but he was on their roster.
Much cheaper.
By the way, somebody told me that Hartline, who knows Hartline, was willing to take, like, I think it was 6 for a year. He makes 66. The Dolphins came to him and said, "We'll pay you 6.5 for a year." He said, "Okay, I'll take it." He was willing to take 6. But they didn't negotiate, so he ended up. I think he's making $6.5 million a year for Brian Hartline.
He's gonna have 100. How many catches? He's gonna have 90 catches. No, 85 catches probably at the end of the year.
Tony, come on. he's better than Mike Wallace?
No, I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
But for the price, you're saying. Yeah, but the price is.
My whole point was I would not have paid.
You thought he was cheap.
I would not have paid Mike Wallace.
You thought Brian Hartline was cheap. He's not cheap. He's costing a lot of
money. I wouldn't have paid Mike Wallace the money he got.
What is,
I think Mike Wallace.
I've got Hartline's numbers. Last year, he had 74 catches for 74 catches for 1,083 yards.
How many touchdowns?
One.
Okay.
Wow. Wow. He's getting $6.5 million off that. That's amazing.
I think it's six and a half.
Because look, 2009.
You sure about six and a half?
I think it is.
2000.
Let's make sure.
Five and a half.
I think it's a little high, Pete. Might want to get your facts right before you start spouting stuff.
2009. He had 31 catches for 500 yards and three scores. Since then, he had in 2010. He had 43 for 615 and one, and then 35.
He had a nice year last year.
549 and one. Then last year he has 1,000 yards and one touchdown.
And didn't he have he had like 270 of it in one game.
Yeah,
right?
Against Arizona.
Yeah. And he's going to have 1,000 this year too.
Yeah, he's got 925 with two games left to play. So he'll be a 1,000-yard receiver. He's got four touchdowns this year, which is a career high.
My point is, I'm not saying my
and he played on a couple of bad Dolphins.
Hartline got 5 years, $30.77 million contract.
So six.
So and then it was 5-5 and he got six or something like that. That's not a lot of money for Brian Hartline.
It's a lot of no. You're missing my point, Pete. That's number two receiver money. Brian Hartline's at number two. I think Mike Wallace is like a 2A, 1B. I don't think Mike Wallace is his premier.
$6.15 million a year.
You think
for Brian
Mike
Hartline.
Wallace is a premier receiver in this league?
No. Can be.
No.
I mean, premier is Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald,
AJ Green,
Julio Jones, Josh Gordon. Now. Is Alshon Jeffrey?
No. Oh, is he the premier? He's pretty good. I'll ask this. Who would you rather have right now, next year, after the season? Robert Woods or Mike Wallace?
Mike Wallace.
You're crazy.
Mike Wallace.
Really, Robert Woods is a better player.
He is?
Yes.
Robert Woods is a better player right now than
for next year, I said, yes. He'll have a better year. Have a better year.
We'll see.
As long
All right, so can the Dolphins?
As long as E.J. Manuel can hit the broadside of a barn. Ooh, that's bad.
How far can the Dolphins go?
They're dangerous. If they get in. Now, in typical Miami fashion now, they could go to Buffalo and lay an egg this week. How about Buffalo, by the way? I don't know. And I haven't looked this up. Has any team ever played the Florida teams in three consecutive weeks?
I didn't look it up. But it's a great run, you know, at Tampa, at Jacksonville, hosting Miami.
Yeah, I bet that's never happened. You'd
need someone in the league office to be able to look back and tell you.
But this is the kind of game. You're Miami. You beat New England. You're riding high. You have to go to Buffalo and win that game.
Have to.
That's not a good Buffalo.
What's their record right now?
8-6. So if they win out, they're in. Miami wins out, they're in.
They finish with the Jets at home.
Which is a win.
Should be.
Yeah. They should win the next two.
But 9-7 doesn't necessarily get you in.
No, my point is they should win the next two.
Should. And they should get in. And once they get in, then they're dangerous. And here's the thing. Remember the offensive line was a mess. Martin wasn't playing very well. Incognito, contrary to popular belief, was just okay. Claybo was playing bad football early in the season. Well, Claybo's playing better. Bryant McKinney's doing as usual. It's time to play because it's time to play, and I feel like playing. He's playing better. They got a kid off the scrap heap who's won the left guard job. He wasn't going to be the left guard. They're going to play Nate Gardner there. He took the job from him. He was on their practice squad. Pouncey's playing better. Now he's getting thicker again, getting heavy because he lost a bunch of weight. All of a sudden, now you look at their line, they're playing better up front. Now he's able to throw the football better. On defense, Olivier Vernon, I think he has 11.5 sacks.
Yeah, he's a good player.
And then you have Wake on the other side who's a beast. Those two guys.
Randy Starks and Paul Soli are good players.
Right? And then Ellerby is starting to turn it up a little bit. I thought he got a little overpaid, but he's turning it up. Brent Grimes had a great year for him. Rashad Jones, who I thought was going to be a breakout player, hadn't played as well. But there's talent.
Nolan Carroll is playing better. He's made some nice plays this year.
There's talent on that team. They have a talented team. And they've overcome a lot. You got to admit, what they've overcome to get where they are right now.
Oh, a lot of people
impressive.
Thought. Yeah, count me among them. I thought that locker room situation was going to rock them.
There's Philbin comes back next year.
Yes, he has to now.
Yeah.
Has to.
What if Ted Cruz comes out and says it's a bad culture, inmates running the asylum, bad stuff?
I still think he comes back, particularly if they make the postseason. He has to come back.
You just forget in the middle of their schedule, they lost
Tampa.
They lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of 6, and if you stretch it out, they lost 6 of 8.
Well, the one was Tampa on the road.
Yeah,
that was,
right.
That was
right.
The Monday night game.
That was right in the middle of all of
it. That was the week of.
But they had four straight losses there in October.
But they lost to Carolina at one point a couple weeks ago.
Against Baltimore, against Buffalo, at New England, against
the Buffalo one is the worst.
New Orleans.
The Buffalo one. Thad Lewis beat them.
Yeah.
In Miami.
Really, they should be.
Carolina was their last loss.
Yeah. And
they
it was close.
They should have beat Buffalo and they should have beat Tampa.
And
those
they
are two wins.
Yeah.
Just take those two and right. I mean now not only they're fighting for the division.
But you also gotta remember they played Atlanta early.
They got some breaks early.
Right. So, but again, in the AFC, where top three teams in the AFC all lost this past weekend. Denver, New England, Cincinnati, all lost.
Cincinnati's just the most frustrating team in football.
The coach.
I mean, it's sitting there for them to take it, to literally become the number two seed.
And before
and they just and lay a
But you know what, though, Tony? That was so weird yesterday. They were down 21-0 and it really wasn't anything that the offense or defense did. The special teams had the fumble punt.
Right.
Why didn't he kick it out of the back of the end zone?
I don't know.
And then he got blasted on the punt return, and next thing you know, you're down 21-0. That game's done. And then it's infuriating to watch Jay Gruden call plays. Just mind-numbing. Eifert got going in the second half, right?
And he's still yes.
And then Bernard, to me, is a guy you get in space and use him like Sproles and stuff. Why doesn't he use those guys? He wants Ben Jarvis.
He's
Grinnell's in there.
I mean, he's going to be a head coach, though.
That's scary. That's so. The other coach on the other side of the ball is a better coach.
Mike Zimmer.
Much better. Much better. So, but again, the AFC is there for the taking, Brian. So if one of those, if Miami gets hot.
Is there a good team in the AFC, Pete?
No. Is there a good team besides Seattle in the NFC?
I think San Francisco's
They're getting
good.
There.
Yeah.
They're getting there.
But
New Orleans.
It's amazing how much better that 49er team is with Crabtree, what he has done.
I don't know if so much just Crabtree. I just think they're getting healthier everywhere
else.
Is
that it? I mean,
yeah. Alden Smith wasn't there for a while. Now he's back playing like Alden Smith. I thought Justin Smith tailed off. Now he's starting to play like Justin Smith. They're getting healthier. They've had some, you know, Willis for some time. They're getting, and then the offensive line, they've had some issues there. Staley's been hurt. He's playing, but he's been hurt. Iupati's been hurt. They're now getting healthy again. And when they're healthy, they're good. They're physical. And they're the one team that might be able to go to Seattle and win. I still think somebody's going to Seattle and winning. I don't know why. I just have that.
I don't.
When was the last one seed that went through?
It was, the last
was it
one
New
seed?
In the NFC. Was it New Orleans? We've had a lot of – because the Giants upset Green Bay.
Yeah.
The Packers beat Atlanta in Atlanta. The Atlanta lost twice as a one seed.
Right.
Green Bay lost to the Giants as a one seed. San Francisco was a one seed, and the Giants beat them. It's been a while. So every one seed, we sit there and we go, the one seed's going through. But it's just too easy to put Seattle
That's
in
a
Super
long
Bowl.
Way away, though. I mean, that's the one thing about it. Seattle is a
that's
long –
That's a tough place
Not
to
from San Francisco necessarily, but from almost everywhere else.
Like the 49ers
else, it's a long
could
way
go
away.
There and win. They could.
No, they could. I still think they will.
But who else could? I mean, New Orleans went to St. Louis. Every time New Orleans
is so
every time they go on the road and play a physical team, the Jets beat them up.
They're not physical.
St. Louis beat them up yesterday. Beat them. Seattle beat them up. Beat them. Now they got to go to Carolina. New Orleans is a team that has to be real careful. If New Orleans loses to Carolina this week and Carolina wins the next week, Carolina wins the division. New Orleans will have to win the final game. Now, they will, but they play Tampa. But they'll have to win the final week of the season and get in the postseason. Think about that.
Isn't that amazing?
They go from here to here. And that's the NFL. That's just the way to – that's why what Seattle did yesterday was so impressive to me. The Giants aren't very good. Tom's team stinks. They're playing bad football. But you come
will
off –
Will he come back next year?
Yes, I think he does. On his own, I don't think he'll walk away. And I don't think they'll fire him.
I don't think they're going to fire him.
But think about this. Seattle plays New Orleans on Monday night. Everybody raved. Remember that game, the hype for that game? Blew them out. The next week, they have to go to San Francisco. Physical, tough, hard-nosed war.
And they had every chance to win it.
Right, and didn't win it, and go home, and then have to fly across country to play the Giants and shut them out. Not win, shut them out.
That's why I think Seattle's by far, in my opinion, the best. Not by far, it's not fair, because I think San Francisco's very good. But it's Seattle's one, San Francisco's a pretty close two, and then the number three team in this league is so far down, I'm not sure they can see each other.
The league?
Yeah, I mean, tell me the third best team in this league.
Denver, even though they lost.
Denver gets worn out against both San Francisco and Seattle because of how physical those teams are.
I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, you're crazy.
Ah, we may have a CopyFax face-off question. Stay tuned, folks.
Still quarterback league. Never forget that.
Stay tuned. That is next here on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. More of Jaguars Monday. Time for the CopyFax face-off. We're talking about Jason Garrett and Tony Romo after yesterday's game.
Speak of the devil.
And I got to say this. I don't know whether you saw the picture that Clarence Hill tweeted out. And that was after the game, Tony Romo went to the Dallas Children's Hospital and did an event with some of his teammates. He's a class kid.
He's a good kid.
I don't know him.
I know Tony.
I don't know him. But I saw that photo, and I liked him.
I liked him.
After a personally difficult game, for him to go sit and hand out presents at one of the children's hospitals in Dallas, that's what it's all about.
He's low-hanging fruit. Everybody likes to beat up on Tony Romo. Whatever he does, doesn't matter what he does, when he does it, how he does it. Guys like Tony Romo, Phillip Rivers, they
always do. Who was calling plays? I mean, I know it was Callahan, but run the ball.
It was terrible in the second. Hey, you know me. I'm a pass-first guy, but I was screaming at the TV, why the heck are you not running? DeMarco Murray averages 5.5 per carry, and he was killing him in that game.
I think they only had seven carries.
Eight in the second half, and they were up 26-3 at the half.
I thought there would be more than that.
No, 26-3 at the half. And it's bad enough. Your defense stinks. They let Matt Flynn throw for, you know, four touchdown passes, and they came back. Five touchdowns they scored. And I joked last Monday when they played the Bears last Monday when they got destroyed, and I said, if I could throw for 250 on the Cowboys defense, and Matt Flynn doesn't have any arm strength much more than I do, and he threw what he wanted to do, they're bad. But after the game, the situation was this.
This is what we disagree.
The Cowboys they needed to run the ball. No doubt about it.
We agree with that part.
There's no doubt about that. But Romo checked out of a run play, allegedly, and tried
to. He did. I seen the play.
And tried
to
throw.
It's what I tell. I call. I told.
It's a smoke play.
It's smoke. I taught Brian the
smoke
play.
Now.
Smoke or now.
You should see how I run that rod. It's amazing.
Right. So but he calls it, and then he gets picked off by Shields on a great play. Packers go in and take the lead. The next time they get the ball, Beasley stopped his route, and he admitted he did after the game.
I'm not blaming
Romo for that pick.
But Garrett said nothing about that.
I'm getting to that. I'm going to explain it. So they lose the game, and Garrett comes out after the game. He was asked what happened on the first interception. Why weren't you running the ball? And he said, we had a run play called, and Tony checked out of it.
No, that's not exactly what he said, how he said it. He said, we had a run play called there, but Tony has the ability to check out of the play if he gives a look that is not favorable to run. We got that look, and Tony checked the run. Checked the pass.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Because he's putting it on the quarterback.
It's on the quarterback.
No. He doesn't need to throw him out there, though. He doesn't need to say that.
He supposed to say on
say,
that?
Say, hey, we were going to run a pass there, but we had a pass call, but we decided to go with the run call. Don't say.
Okay, Tony, the next question is because you're in the press conference, and I know you.
Right. Why did you give him that freedom then?
Yeah, why is it?
I just don't think he handled it the wrong way.
No, he didn't. I listened to the press conference.
Don't say anything.
I listened to the press conference.
Don't say anything. Just say, hey, that was the play. It was a bad play. We didn't. Why did you got to say? Well, we had a run play call.
Because
he's taking it off his own.
You
want to
know why?
He's taking it off his own.
Why is he doing it? Because number one, on the telecast, I'm pretty sure.
No, he did not say it.
Because I didn't. Joe and
they didn't say. They didn't say anything about checking out of that.
Oh, they didn't say anything about checking
out.
No. Well, everyone, it's obvious. In that play, it is obvious when it's a run play that has been called and the quarterback and the wide receiver.
Okay, but
I mean, we notice it up in the booth.
But okay,
my whole point is.
No. Okay, you're trying to run the clock out.
You don't check to a smoke play. Well, if he has the ability to do
that's on him.
Romo
made a bad call, and he put it on him. And he shouldn't have put it on him. He should have taken a bullet for himself. He should have taken the bullet. Garrett should have taken the bullet.
I'm telling you, Pete, the way I heard it, I thought Jason Garrett was just saying, this is our offense. He did the right thing. It was just poorly executed.
Okay, I'm going to go back to
1999,
okay? Because I'm going to put you in a situation that you remember very, very, very well, okay?
I hit the head a lot.
1999. Tennessee Titans game here at the stadium. Late in the game.
Yeah, I remember.
All you need is a field goal to win it, correct?
Yeah, Tom should have freaking...
What did he do? What was the call?
He should have run the ball.
What did he do?
He ran naked bootleg.
And what did Mark do?
Threw a pick.
Okay. Who was that on?
I put that on Tom.
Who did Tom put it on?
Probably put it on Mark.
He did put it on Mark. You don't remember that whole scenario?
Oh, I do.
And that was what led to big problems with Mark and
that's
a big story in the Times Union.
That's
you remember?
I do.
That is different.
On C7. It was.
That's
they wouldn't run
Pete.
It. Huh?
That's different.
Why is that different?
Because he
called him out on it.
No.
What did he call him out for? I don't remember back to what did he call him out for? Because he threw it?
I think he threw it to the wrong guy or something.
Or should have thrown it into the crowd? He should have been throwing it.
It was the bad call. Right. That's my point. That's different than Jason Garrett saying, this is our offense. He ran the offense properly. It was just poorly executed. He didn't put it on. He didn't say, like, I can't believe, you know, it's Romo's fault we checked it. He says, no. If we get this look, Romo's supposed to check it.
Garrett could have said it was just a bad play and we executed it.
I think that's what he said. They go, why'd you run?
Taking it off his own head.
No.
Yes, he is, because it was a bad call and a bad decision.
I think it's on his head. If that's your offense, that's what you're telling the quarterback.
It's on him. It's on Garrett. He should have told Romo, do not check out of it and run the play. So it's ultimately on him anyways. But he shouldn't put his head.
I don't think he put it on. I think he was explaining the situation and how the offense works.
I think he exposed the quarterback. And you know what?
Romo exposes himself. Listen, I think he's fine. But listen, sooner or later, if you consistently make bad plays at the end of ball games in big moments, you got to wonder. Is it a self-fulfilling prophecy for Tony Romo that he gets in those moments and he just, as hard as he tries? Now, I think Romo's a very good quarterback. Not a great one, but a very good quarterback. But that no matter how hard he tries, because that's happened, it's almost a self-fulfilling thing that he is. Well, I do.
Well, he's also
I think that matters.
He's also a guy that – it's like when Houston was leading 35-3 at the half against Buffalo in the playoff game, and Buffalo came back with Frank Reich and won the game, and everybody
was that 91?
Yeah, and everybody Houston was the best team. Buffalo went on and won, but everybody blamed Houston in their offense, the run and shoot. Oh, he can't hold the lead. You're up 35-3. You have 35 points at halftime. You're going to blame the offense? Well, it's the same thing. Romo's at up 26-3. The defense can't stop anybody, and they blame Romo. Well, then when they get the ball back, Romo goes down and puts him up by what? 35? What did he put him up by? 35-24 when he hit Dez Bryant in the end zone for the touchdown on that great catch in the back of the end zone? I think he put him up 35-24, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, again, he had to drive him to put him up and give him a cushion. He goes, drives the ball in the fourth quarter, gives him the cushion, and they don't hold the lead. So, you could put it on
the quarterback. No, I mean, I'm putting it on the defense, too. Ultimately, it's the defense. You got to stop somebody.
Right.
I'm just saying, when I say it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, Pete, is how often have we sat here and had these conversations where one person's defending Romo, one person's arguing against him, but at the end of the day, it's Romo's mistakes that have cost or led or helped or contribute whatever you want to use to the Dallas Cowboys losing, and at the end of the day,
they do contribute because they all could. But they also
they're a 500 team when he's there,
right?
They're average.
It also contributes. Well, the team stinks as a whole. The team stinks.
Oh, I'm not saying okay.
They wouldn't be 500 if it wasn't for him. The team is pathetic.
How good are the New England Patriots? Who's more talented, the Patriots or the Cowboys? The Cowboys.
Well,
wait
a second.
Who's more talented?
Well, you got Romo. Brady's better than Romo.
Okay, take the quarterbacks out. Okay, everywhere else, who's more talented?
Well, go. I'll give you the position by position. I'll give it to you.
Well, save it because news is next.
You're crazy.
You're
not that. They have some better players, but they're not significantly
better. Copy facts, face off, a winner every time, folks. Just listen. They'll each claim it in the next half hour. News is next from News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
We'll go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford, go further. Brian Sexton, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli here for the next 24 minutes or so. How about the whole thing with Kirk Cousins in Washington? How does that roll out, in your opinion?
Well, I'm a big believer in a lot of these backup quarterbacks come in and people get all excited about them, and then it's like a pitcher who goes through an American League or a National League. He looks good in the beginning, and then they kind of figure him out a little bit. You are what you are. There are rare exceptions. Kurt Warner was one of the rare exceptions of being you are what you are. But for the most part, you are who you are in this league.
And what about Mark Brunell?
But he was what round was he?
He was a backup, fourth rounder, fifth rounder.
Yeah.
Fifth rounder.
Yeah, Mark was a good player for that. But for the most part.
Well, Cousins was a second rounder, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he can play.
Play what? Would you trade a first round pick for him?
Heck no.
Would you trade a second round pick for him?
I think about it.
You're Dave Caldwell. You going to trade a second round pick for Kirk Cousins?
Not here, because I got too many other needs.
Right.
But if I'm a
Cleveland?
Yeah.
You would?
I do think about it if I'm Cleveland.
I wouldn't. I want to see him play. I want to see more of him. It's too,
second round, repeat. I mean,
it's just too much. Well, why didn't you draft him in the second round then when you thought he was coming out? I mean,
you might have. Maybe you had a high grade. I mean, maybe the Washington
was
ahead
it the
of
second
you.
Round or was it the third round
second
they picked
round.
Him?
I thought there was second.
I got a. It was the three, wasn't it? They didn't come back. Did they go back to back quarterbacks?
I'll go look it up.
Yeah. But, anyways, he looked good in the first half yesterday against Atlanta, like he's the next great thing. When they go into the locker room at halftime, they come back out. He throws two picks and.
He finished good, though.
And then he finished good. But, again, Josh McCown looks like the greatest. Josh McCown looks like the greatest thing in the world.
That's different.
Trestman?
No, but he's also, like, 34 years old, almost 35. I mean, that's a different thing.
So what you're saying is Tony Boselli, who always wants to be a general manager in the future, because you play one in
the Oh, no, you're wrong. Fourth round.
Yeah, fourth round.
I was wrong.
Yeah, I thought it was later. You are what you are. You are what you are. Would you trade a second round pick for him?
No, I wouldn't.
Now that he's been in the fourth round, you say no.
No, but I would.
You want to see more? Look at how many. Okay,
I'm trying to think what team.
Rob Johnson. You want me to put Rob's name up there?
That's a great example.
Right. And hey,
you'd have said,
I was a Rob Johnson guy.
Yeah.
I thought Rob Johnson could play in this league. I thought Rob Johnson would be a starting quarterback in this league, but it was a small body of work, and he looked
fantastic.
That's
the danger. So I would say this. I'm trying to think what team I would give a second if I where what team where I'd give a second rounder for.
Nobody, because the teams that don't have a quarterback need to get their own.
Well, Cleveland has a bunch of extra draft picks.
Right. Now, I think I might if because all the picks they have
is okay. Let me just ask
what
you this.
What if St. Louis?
If you're Cleveland, and you're trying to get a quarterback that you drafted develop over the years, and you're going to go trade a draft pick to get a guy that was in the fourth round that you clearly passed on. Somebody in that regime passed on him three times.
Well, you know the name Alex Smith is going to be brought up.
And again, he's stopgap. That's what he is. He threw dink and dunk passes to Jamal Charles yesterday. He ran for 190 yards on those passing plays. They're stopgap guys. They're not your future. They're not sustainable. Each franchise has to get the sustainable guy. Jacksonville's been looking for the sustainable guy since Mark Brunell. They don't have them. They haven't had them. They tried with Leftwich. They tried with Garrard, which he was never sustainable. And they tried with Gabbert. Not sustainable. Chad Henne. Not
give,
sustainable.
Would Tom give a second rounder for Mark?
No.
It was a fourth.
Yeah, it was a fourth. And there was something else in there, but it was a fourth round pick.
Yeah. But you're also.
You know what I give for Kirk Cousins the more I think about it? Because, I mean, Pete, you make good points. I rarely think you do, but you do this time.
Yeah, just. Off the mark.
I'd probably give if I had a late three or an early four.
Or four.
Or a late three.
I'd give them the four that they used to get him.
I might give a three.
Based on the three games he's played?
No, what you saw last year, he came in. I mean, he has a little bit of presence about him. And
Jags
boxy.
Gave up the third and the fifth.
Yeah, 3-5.
I might give a three for Kirk Cousins. I would. If I'm Cleveland.
I want to see him play two more games. And let's not forget, Atlanta, whose pass defense has two rookie corners, has made a lot of quarterbacks look good this year. See, that's the thing. I'm a big believer in that. Everybody rushed to McCown. Oh, my God, look at McCown. Look what he's doing. The only defense he faced in his little run that was ranked lower than 15 in the pass defense was Baltimore.
Higher than 15, mean?
Lower than 15. They were 14. And everybody else was in the 20s, 24, 27, 28. And that matters. That matters who you face. Then Cutler went on the road and played Cleveland, whose pass defense was ranked, I think, eighth going into this weekend. And so all of a sudden you're saying, well, he's outside the elements. He's not, you know, he played the Rams inside. This guy's playing them outside. Elements, better defense. How will we play? And he got off to a slow, he drove him down the field to an interception. Everybody's like, oh, get him out. No, you are what you are. McCown, I went back and watched McCown last week, and I wanted to study his game. I wanted to see if maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my eyes are deceiving me. And I went back and I looked at it, and I go, some of the passes, they were so schemed up, I could have thrown them. He had two plays on screen passes, same play, same formation, same design. All he did, tackle at the end, come up the field, one-man screen. You know that?
I know, slip screen.
Yeah. Went for a touchdown. It's just not that.
Listen, I mean, I'm with you. The Chicago's an easy one for me. I signed Jay Cutler. I mean, you're smoking the funny stuff if all of a sudden you think Luke McCown's going to be your guy.
No, Josh.
Or Josh.
Or Luke. Take whatever McCown
whatever
you want.
Whatever McCown you
Cade.
Want. I mean,
throw them all out there.
It's McNown.
Yeah, hey, close enough.
No, very good backup, though. Great guy. You want him on your roster because he can win ball games when you need him. He did a fabulous job. I'm going to take nothing away from him. But he's not Jay Cutler.
No.
But I'll go back to Kirk Cousins. I would give a third rounder for him.
And I bring up Rob Johnson. And
I bring up Mark Brunell.
Matt Flynn. And I bring up Kevin Cobb. And I bring up
Kurt Warner.
You know, there are some teams.
Kurt Warner was nowhere.
There are some teams that just never draft quarterbacks and develop them. And Kansas City's the perfect example.
They've never
done it in their history. Never. Their best quarterback, Len Dawson, he was a draft pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But they tried.
By the way, since Alex Smith is there, how many former 49ers quarterbacks have the Chiefs had in the last 20 years? Joe Montana, Steve Bono, Elvis Gerbach, and now Alex Smith.
Yeah.
That's four in the last 20 years.
Well, but they tried. They drafted Blackledge, remember?
Yeah, I do. In that
they
great
drafted
draft
Steve
1983.
Steve Fuller in the first round.
And now you're going back in front of even that.
but
other than that, they really haven't really tried.
No. And
Blackledge was the last time they tried.
Me,
it didn't work.
To me, all you're doing when you do that is put a Band-Aid on it, and it's not sustainable. To get the sustainable guy, you have to draft and develop him. He's your guy. You can't just think, well, I'm going to get Trent Dilfer and go win a Super Bowl. Yeah, that happened. But it happened with arguably the greatest defense of all time.
I can give you a lot. I mean, not a lot, but Oakland did it with Gannon, and they were very good, almost won a Super Bowl.
And then what happened?
The Bucs did do it.
The Breeze in New Orleans. I mean,
he's a second round pick, though.
But it wasn't. I'm not saying that. But that wasn't their guy, and they developed him. They took him off.
He's also in a situation where the Chargers drafted a first round guy to replace
him. But you don't get to have it both ways.
No,
you don't get to
I'm
say your
saying.
Argument and then not no,
there's
admit
exceptions
that there's.
To the, there's exceptions to the rule. But go back and look at the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks over the last decade. Okay, just do it. Where'd they come from?
Majority of the time.
Flacco was drafted and developed.
No, the majority of the time, you're right. I agree with you. But you can't do it the other way.
I mean, Breeze won. Manning, Roethlisberger. I mean, that's just the way it is, Tony. And you know what?
No,
most of those teams sustain it.
More times than not, I agree with you, Pete. But I'm saying there are situations where.
But I give you the Rich Gannon situation and then off the cliff, right?
Well, it's not long term.
Right.
Because of the age.
Right. You have to sustain it. You got to draft. And that's why this team has to find the guy, draft, and develop. He's your guy for a decade. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is your guy. Whether you get him in the first round or the second round or whenever, he's your guy.
You know, one of the guys who's going to play tonight, Matt Stafford, is a perfect example of how difficult it is. I mean, because they drafted him number one overall. They gave him Calvin Johnson. In fact, Calvin Johnson was already there, if I remember right. And they paid him.
He was.
And yet, has Matt Stafford shown that he's the guy? I mean, he can throw the ball all over the field. It's not hard to do.
It's hard when your
team to be the
is
man.
Always behind and undisciplined. Isn't it?
Schwartz is crazy, isn't
yeah.
it?
But they've given him all that money.
I mean, that's a crazy situation.
It's a crazy team, but he's good enough to win.
Yeah, I think that's a bad example.
But on face value, though, you're talking about a guy that you paid a ton of money to, that you've invested a lot of talent around, and is he really the guy?
Yeah, bro, I'm going to disagree with you. That's a bad example, only because that is a crazy situation.
Here's another
one.
The
words you hear, I mean, and Pete knows better than I do, but the stories you hear about it there and about Jim Schwartz.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. It's
all right, well, how about Matt Ryan then?
He's taking him to
a
play away from
the
Super
Bowl. Yeah, but last week, what were we talking about? We were talking about whether Matt Ryan was the guy or not.
No, not me. That was me and you and Jeff and Mark. And I argued Matt Ryan is the guy.
What, they were saying Matt Ryan wasn't the guy?
Logs and Brian were saying they wasn't the guy.
You guys are crazy.
I didn't. First of all, I just asked the questions
did.
In here.
No.
I know what I said. Trust me.
But you're
what
crazy,
I, what
Joe.
What I said was, is he the guy or not? Because the question mark is.
That's a dumb question. Pete, is that a dumb question?
But he can ask a dumb question. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, has he won?
No.
What? Okay.
Marino never won anything either.
The point that I'm bringing up is that when you draft these guys, when you draft them, they don't always turn out to be Peyton Manning.
Well, wait a second now. Well, slow down.
Peyton Manning's only won one.
And how long has Matt Ryan
Eli's
been
in the league? Eli's won two.
Hey, right.
Pete, how long has Matt Ryan been in the league now? 5 years?
Six. This is six.
Okay, how many Super Bowls did Peyton Manning go in the first 6 years?
None.
How many AFC title games was Peyton Manning in the first 6 years?
A couple, I think.
One, maybe? Maybe two.
Ryan's played in one championship game.
And guess what?
He's been the number one seed twice, and he went to the postseason.
And he lost the number one seed twice at home, right?
Well, first of all, last year he had a lead. It's not his fault that the defense couldn't stop anybody.
Wait. You're talking about Matt Stafford, and it's a crazy situation, and you have to factor that in. But on the other side, when Matt Ryan loses at home, it's the defense's fault.
While we're talking about
Matt Ryan is the guy.
Matt Schaub is another example.
I didn't say he wasn't. I said look at him real quick. And people are questioning him based on this year.
What did Brunell say?
He didn't say anything. I don't know if he said anything, did he? I don't remember.
Loggy pointed out
Loggy was like, he's not the guy.
And he talked about the game against a couple of games in the middle of the season here where he didn't play very well. Now, he acknowledged the fact that Julio Jones is out. Roddy White has not been healthy all season long.
The line has been a disaster.
But that never stopped Peyton Manning, did it? I mean, it doesn't matter how many left tackles they had. That rolled through there. Peyton Manning always has made everyone look better.
That was so bad in Atlanta that I don't even think Peyton Manning would have been able to play through that crap.
Well, I can remember some years where there wasn't a whole lot of talent up front in front of Manning.
No, up front, but he always had options to throw to with no Julio and no Roddy White. He had nothing.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that Manning is that rare bird that makes
everyone
look better.
Manning and Brady and Rodgers.
Okay, but
Brees are separate.
But that's the standard, right?
No, it's not the standard. That's the exception.
Those are the special of the special.
Okay, and those are the guys that have been winning Super Bowls.
Eli won two.
No, that's not true.
Eli won two.
You don't have to have that guy.
Roethlisberger won two.
Right.
But they're not in that class.
Yeah, they're not in that class. You don't have to have that guy to win the Super Bowl.
You think those guys are in that class?
I think Roethlisberger is.
He's close.
Yeah,
he's not.
I think Roethlisberger is.
He's not in it, but he's close.
But
why were you talking about Manning?
He makes the players around
Eli
him.
Eli Manning's not.
No, but he's won two Super Bowls.
I agree. I'm agreeing with you, knucklehead.
But Matt's, we were talking about Matt's, Matt Schaub is another example of the why you don't trade for the guy. It wasn't sustainable.
Let me go back to my point. Argue if you want. It's tough. To draft quarterbacks. I'll go to the 2010 draft or 2011 draft. Three quarterbacks, right, taken in the top 13. Four taken in the top 13, and I think most people had top 10 grades on Cam Newton, Blaine Gabbert, Jake Locker, and Christian Ponder, right? Just because you draft them in that rank because they had the grade in that rank and put talent around them doesn't mean they pan out. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is that when you look at the quarterback position, you would argue with anybody.
Well, I'm asking you a question, though. Wait a second. And you put talent around them? Okay, let's back up for a second. I think Cam Newton is a good player, so let's take him off.
They put talent around him, is what I'm saying.
Where's the talent?
He's got two good running backs. He's got a pretty good defense around him, don't they?
They have a good
defense.
Now they do.
Well, yeah, it's taken a couple years to get there.
No, but he set like rookie records. Unbelievable things.
I mean, Cam's not great, but Cam's
good.
The other three, not so much.
Yeah, but the grade doesn't change. The fact that people had grades on him and thought that they were top.
Truth be known, Carolina considered Blaine Gabbert with that first pick for a while.
Right.
Ooh.
Right. That's the point I'm making, is that when you look at the
quarterbacks,
it's a very difficult thing to make. And I don't think Matt Stafford is the guy. I just don't. I don't see it in him. And I know at one point this year they thought that he did, with the way he played at the end of one of the ball games where he kind of a jump pass and then dove into the
end. So you wouldn't want him here?
No, I don't like Matt Stafford. I wouldn't want him
here. As one general manager once told me, you're never going to win a Super Bowl with a fat-faced quarterback.
And with that, we'll take a break and return.
I don't know who that's
on Jaguars Radio. The quarterback argument will go on and on and on.
For the rest of our lives, by the way.
But, you know, during the break, we were talking about it. And you brought up a point, I think, that makes what I was saying is that, you know, you can look at a guy, and we'll use Blaine Gabbert because he's here. And, you know, does he have a work ethic? Yeah, Blaine's one of the first guys in, one of the last guys out, okay? Does he have the physical attributes? Absolutely he has the physical attributes. Big, strong guy. Watch him in warm-ups. I mean, he looks like a robo-quarterback. All over the place. But then, as everyone has seen, you get him out there on the field, and he doesn't deliver. He doesn't look comfortable in the pocket, the Colts game, right? Where there was one play where he jumped out of the pocket. You said he didn't climb the ladder, didn't stay in the pocket, doesn't have the presence. How do you know that? I mean, you're looking at a guy who plays so well in the bowl game and so well against Nebraska in a driving rainstorm his junior year, and you're thinking he's got everything there to do it, but he's playing in a different system. It's a very difficult, difficult job. And so when you look at these quarterbacks this year, and there'll be people going, take this guy, take that guy, and all of them, because they're not Manning, because they're not – it's tough to use Brady because nobody thought he was the guy either. You know, that it's a really difficult thing to get done.
Here's another thing about the quarterback position. And I'm going to – of course, I'm going to relay a Peyton Manning story because Tony loves to hear him so much. I can't remember the year.
You don't like Manning?
I like Manning. I think Brady's better.
Haven't heard you say that, so that's one.
No, I think Manning's fabulous. I think he's a great player.
But – one year they were playing Denver. It was Denver. It was in the dome back when they played in the dome. And Denver has a banged up secondary, and it gets even worse. And they bring this guy onto the field that they had just signed the day before to the active roster. And Peyton threw a touchdown pass against him. In the locker room after the game, Peyton knew everything about him. Everything. That's what you need from the quarterback position. As much as Blaine works,
come on, Pete.
Well, no. I mean, the guy's fanatic, but Drew Brees does too.
No, but listen, you're talking about the four greatest ever. Here's the thing: Blaine can know like
four
what color
greatest ever.
Right now in the league, okay. Arguably, you could say four of the greatest ever.
Four of the greatest ever. Yeah,
you could argue that. I mean, Blaine can know what color underwear every guy on the other team's wearing and where they, you know, like to, you know, sleep
Tony,
at night and
you,
how they brush
your
teeth.
I know, I get that.
I ain't gonna I mean, Peyton Manning That's is the smartest quarterback. I don't know if Peyton Manning is the best quarterback ever. He's the smartest quarterback ever.
He to me, his brain is the most valuable weapon in the NFL.
He's amazing.
Because he doesn't have the arm that the other guys have.
Oh, gosh. Imagine, you know.
If he had Tom Brady's arm in his head.
Oof.
You know, the book on Brady is that Brady isn't the brightest bulb when it comes to reading coverages. But he gets away with it because
he's pretty good.
I think he's good, too. But Marino. Forgive me, Marino, for a perfect example. Marino was fantastic. Just for the sake of argument, Marino threw 48 touchdown passes in an era where they beat up the receivers all the way up the field.
I was just going to say, could you imagine Dan Marino in today's rules?
Oh, my God.
He might throw for 100 touchdowns.
See, to me, he's still you can have every other quarterback. I take Marino. You can have Brady. You can have Montana.
Elway.
You can have Elway. You can have all of them. I take Marino.
I'm a Denver guy. So
I know.
I'm not a Denver guy. I'd take Elway. He was my favorite quarterback to watch.
I take Marino.
He was great.
And I wasn't a Dolphin fan in any way, shape, or form. I just love watching
him. Well, I'm not one that says
you can't be great if you don't win the title.
Yeah, if you don't win a Super Bowl, you're not a great quarterback.
I'm not either.
Or a great player. That makes no sense to me. This is the ultimate team sport. Listen, Joe Montana is one of the best quarterbacks ever. He had Jerry Rice.
And John Taylor.
And John Taylor. And Roger Craig. And Tom Rathman. And a defense that was like
Dwight Clark.
Dwight Clark. And a defense that was unreal. And a really good offensive line.
And a good system.
And the best head coach. Maybe the best football coach mind ever in the game.
And the system that was new and innovative.
So my point
is, I
mean, I'm not taking anything away from Joe Montana. He's a fabulous player. But you talk about weapons. I mean, I go back why I like John Elway.
Well,
tell me his receiving core.
Three amigos.
Let me bring it back, though. In 1993, he went to Kansas City, which was nowhere near as talented.
Oh, he's a great player.
And took him all the way to the AFC Championship game, where they got beat by a really talented Buffalo Bills team. And that was at the end of Montana's career, where he was battling a lot of injuries.
You're missing my point.
No, I get your point. I'm just adding to it.
Oh, he's a great player.
He's done it with.
But here's what I used to say.
He's done it with incredible talent and with less than incredible talent.
Tell me if you agree with this. You could have taken Marino and put Marino in San Francisco's offense, and they would have been fantastic. But I don't think you could have taken Montana and put him in Marino's offense, and he would.
I don't know any of that.
Do you think Marino could have run that?
Yes. Oh, he could have run whatever you told him.
But it doesn't work to what he really did.
Oh, but I know. But he would. You kidding me?
I mean, he could send that ball.
And he could. He would. And the ball, when he saw it, it went boom. It was
off
his ear.
They're all great players. My only point of saying this is, I agree with Pete. Just because Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl takes nothing away with the type of player he was.
Yeah, I never thought that.
No, I agree, but some people do. Plus, they judge everything on how many Super Bowls he got.
Did it every bit as good as Joe Montana did, if not better, if you look at the numbers after he left.
All right, folks, that'll do it for Jaguars Monday. Don't forget, Jaguars Thursday comes your way with the Gus Bradley Show at 6 this Thursday night on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and AM 690. Good night.